You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279. Or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to episode 16 of Take a Bow Podcast. I'm Eli.
And I'm Sid.
And today we have, if you haven't noticed, the incredible Lexi Underwood joins the podcast today. And to be honest, we didn't even talk about like her whole resume.
She's done so much.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't even touch on like the stuff she did with Nickelodeon and Disney and all of that. She actually had a new thing for Amazon Prime with Will versus the Future.
Yeah.
But the stuff that we did talk about was just amazing. And I really think you guys are going to enjoy this episode.
Yeah. If you aren't aware, she currently stars as Pearl Warren in Little Fires Everywhere. She plays Kerry Washington's daughter, and she is just absolutely phenomenal. And she was in Lion King on not only the tour, but on Broadway, which is super cool. And she talked about that journey and just her story.
Yeah, it was really fascinating because she talked about the difference between Broadway and touring. And it was an interesting perspective because oftentimes when people talk about that, they're talking about different shows. So it's going to be completely different experiences. But with this, she had a fortunate enough experience to where she was on tour and then they were like, hey, can you come to Broadway? And so that was just a cool thing that she could relate the two and really kind of have similar paths, but also very different.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And what she said, like, I don't know if some of you guys may follow her or not, or if you know of her. She's quite a bit of an activist. So what she said along the lines there were just incredibly inspiring for me.
Yeah, she has this series called We the Voices of Gen Z, where she has a bunch of people. The point of this is to basically amplify the voices of a bunch of different people who, you know, their perspectives need to be heard. And she's already made such a huge like impact. And she was telling us about stories of people who contacted her because of this series that she did. And she's only 17 years old and she's already
just turned 17,
yeah. Like literally just like last week.
Yeah.
Turned 17 years old. And she's already is so inspiring what she does. She's accomplished so much already. And we're so excited to see where her future leads her.
Yeah, and we're excited for you guys to hear this one because, I mean, what we're saying is just, it sounds cool, but it's just the first layer of it. This isn't even an in-depth look at it, and we really go into depth with her. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that. So without further ado, Lexi Underwood, curtain up. So today we have yet another incredible guest, Lexi Underwood, who has quite literally accomplished all aspects of the performing arts world, from Broadway to Netflix to Hulu to Disney to Nickelodeon, like everywhere, working with some of the biggest names in the business, and we can't wait to cover it all. So Lexi Underwood, welcome to the Take a Bow podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Welcome
to be here.
A little bit over a month ago, I saw Little Fires Everywhere, and I was absolutely blown away by your performance. And I immediately became a fan. And Eli and I were talking, and he just so happened to mention that he knew you. And I was like, what? Please try and get her on the podcast. Oh, my gosh. So we're so thrilled to have you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
How do you and Eli know each other?
We did like an off-Broadway one night type of thing. It was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. Was it with Broadway Cares, I think?
Yeah, it was through the Actors Fund.
Yeah, it was through the Actors Fund. And it was a group of us. It was like Caleb McLaughlin and Una Lawrence. There was just so many incredible...
Zach Unger, I believe.
Yeah, just so many incredible people were part of the show. And Eli and I, we formed a friendship while doing the show. And so here we are.
That's amazing.
Well, okay. First of all, as Sydney mentioned, you're in Little Fires Everywhere, which is like, I mean, like, that's all I hear now, you know, like, just driving through New York, you see all the posters and like everyone's talking about the new thing on Hulu, you know? Mm-hmm. So first of all, that's so exciting. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. But like, you're a pro. So like, this is incredible. But what was the audition process like for Little Fires Everywhere? And how excited were you to kind of do something to this like caliber? Because like you've done a lot of big stuff, but you've like done like Disney and Nickelodeon, which has been for like not just kids, but like this was very mature for you. So how was that feeling?
Yeah. So I actually found out about the project like a year prior to auditioning, because it's an adaptation of a bestseller from 2017. And so one of my friends actually had read the book, and then the press release had come out that Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington were going to be doing a TV adaptation of it. And she was just like, you would be perfect for Pearl. So like, write it down in your notes, like tell your agents when the time comes when they start auditioning, make sure that you go in. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like, sure, like, let me put it in my notes. I hadn't read the book, but I obviously knew who Reese and Kerry were. So I put it down in my notes, and I told my agents just to, like, keep a lookout for the audition. Fast forward, like, a year later, the day before my audition, I actually lost a pilot, and I was ready to pack up and go home. I, like, literally, like, started, like, getting my suitcase and, like, packing up, putting clothes in, and I was just ready to quit. But I had the audition the next day, and so my mom, she was just like, go in, show them what you got. If it doesn't work out, we can totally go home, and if it does, then awesome, like, just see what happens. So I went in. The whole audition process was a whirlwind. I think it all took place in like the span of a week, which is very rare for projects like Little Fires, like a limited series with actors like Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. And so I went in on a Friday, and I got pinned that night. And so obviously you guys probably know, like, pinned means that you're on hold and that they, you know, have a lot of interest in you. And then Monday I found out that they wanted me to do chemistry reads with Gavin Lewis, who plays Moody Richardson, and Jay Pettyjohn, who plays Lexi Richardson. So I was expecting there to be like a bunch of different girls there for Pearl, but there wasn't. I was the only Pearl there, and Megan Stott, who plays Izzy Richardson, she also came, and so it was just the four of us. And the moment that we met, like, we all immediately clicked, and we all did scenes together. We did mix and matches, and 2 days later, I think I booked it. Like, the next day I found out I would be testing, and it was like I didn't even have to go in to test. They were just showing my tape to Hulu and ABC, and then the very next day I found out. So it all happened so incredibly fast. I didn't even get to meet Kerry or Reese during the audition process. But to have booked like that, originally going in, I didn't think I would book it because of the caliber of the project. And then on top of that, kind of, Eli, what you said, like, I've only really done Disney and Nickelodeon, and like, I've done things here and there, but it hasn't been like heavy type of acting like Little Fires. So I honestly just did not think that I would book it. And then as soon as I found out that I booked it, I was just like in shock and disbelief. But I'm just so grateful. for the opportunity.
I'm so, so glad you auditioned because I couldn't imagine anyone else in that role. Oh my gosh.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that story too.
Yeah, it's a huge testament as to like when one door closes, like another one opens, and not to give up when you're doing it immediately, because the right project is going to come along at some point. And every actor, not even just actor, but like every artist has a different path and a different journey. And not everybody is going to have the same journey as you. So it's just kind of like you got to stick it out for the long run and see what happens.
That is amazing advice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Seriously, aren't chemistry like callbacks like so much fun?
Oh my gosh, they're so much fun.
Because I've actually only done like one or two. Mm-hmm. But like I'm someone that just loves meeting new people. Mm-hmm. And then like the fact that you're just like, it A, gives you something to talk about. So it's not like awkward at all. Mm-hmm. And then wherever the conversation leads, it leads. But and then it also is just like allows you to like create and like do something that you love with like four strangers. And it's like, I think it's the coolest thing. And just to see it all like come together literally within like 10 minutes is pretty neat.
No, absolutely. It's kind of like you're watching the cast forming right in front of your eyes. Even if you don't book it, it's like you're still in a way like competing potential cast members that are going to be a part of the project, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a chemistry callback. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, can you explain what it is, like what the purpose of it is, what you do in a chemistry callback? Because even I don't really know.
Yeah, so basically a chemistry callback is they don't necessarily like have a certain number, but it's basically when they'll bring you in and they'll have you almost like a mix and match. They'll have you read with a bunch of different people that they have for other roles in the project. So like for me, because Moody is a crucial part of Pearl's storyline, it was, you know, I had to read with Moody. And also like Lexi Richardson is a crucial part of my storyline, and also Trip Richardson is a crucial part of my storyline. So I had to read with all of them. But for me with the chemistry read, it was really interesting because Gavin and Jade were already hired. They were already booked, which I didn't necessarily know until I got to the audition. So it was really nerve-wracking. Megan and I, we were the only two that weren't cast yet. And so basically the whole point of the chemistry read was just to see if like we were going to be able to flow, see if I did book it, like what our chemistry would be. Would we be able to kind of bring that certain authenticity to scenes? And if we just kind of like clicked and connected as a cast. And so usually if you do that, sometimes they'll cast you all together and other times they won't. But it's just cool because like what Eli said, you get to meet new people along the way. And then also it's like you're watching a cast kind of form right in front of your eyes.
And they did such an incredible job casting it because all of the kids were just, and you can tell you just clicked. So
yeah,
I love your relationship with the guy who plays Moody. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. Thank you. Guys are so good.
Thank you. Gavin is like, he's like one of my best friends.
That's awesome. You can tell. Really? It shows.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was like, that was all of our first times meeting each other. And just like, immediately we all clicked. We all had so much in common. Even with like the recurrings on the show, like Savante who plays Brian or Isabel who plays April, like just as soon as everybody came together, we all immediately clicked because we all had so much in common. And so I'm an only child, but I feel like I just gained new siblings. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Family. Yeah.
We touched on it a little bit, but you play Kerry Washington's daughter in this, and you also have many scenes with Reese Witherspoon's character. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, what was it like working with those two icons, and did you learn anything from them?
Yeah, it was a dream come true. Like growing up, I think like a lot of people, I, you know, watched Scandal religiously, and you know, Legally Blonde was also one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I absolutely just adored and admired both of their work. And then Big Little Lies was like my favorite show for quite a while when it first came out. And so just honestly being able to not only just like work with them, but also to gain them as friends and mentors is something so special. I learned so much from them, but I think like the biggest lesson that I've learned from them is how to unapologetically take up space as an actress in this industry, and also as a Black actress, because a lot of times when you step on set, kids aren't necessarily given the space to be able to be incredibly vocal and to try different things. But with the two of them, they just gave us so much freedom and so much space to be able to play with our characters and play with different scenes. There were times where it was like, if a scene didn't necessarily feel authentic to us, or if a line didn't feel authentic to us, then we could basically, you know, stand up and say, hey, this doesn't feel authentic. Can we make any changes? Or we would actually be able to like walk to the writer's room and just have conversations with writers, because the whole point was, if it doesn't feel authentic to us, it's not going to feel authentic to the audience.
Sure.
At the end of the day, like, you know, we're the ones that know our characters like the back of our hand. And so for me, like, that was just such an incredibly cool experience. Actually, I'll never forget for the finale, when I first got the script for episode 8, something that really stood out to me was the fact that, you know, at the end, Pearl and Mia go to her grandmother's house or her grandparents' house. And so originally, like, at the very beginning, I pitched the idea to Carrie that we actually go up to the house and like walk into the house, because it was supposed to end with us just like driving up to the house and nobody getting out of the car, and the poem just kind of like ends with Reese. But immediately, as soon as I pitched that idea to Carrie, we then pitched it to the writers and then pitched it to Hulu, and everybody loved it. And so it was my idea, like, to be able to end the show with that and end our character arc and our storyline with us going into the house. And so, like I said, I was 15 at the time. And so to be a 15-year-old actress and like be able to come up with ideas and pitch them, and for people to actually sit down and listen to me, is something that's so rare. And so, I don't know, they taught me so many things, but the most thing was just how to take up space and be very vocal about my opinions.
That is so incredible. Awesome.
Yeah.
What incredible role models. Because it definitely can be hard, especially as like a child on set, to go mm-hmm. in and not feel. But it's I think it's really beautiful that they encouraged you. And I don't know, that's I love that so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tell you have this incredible bond with them, you know, like with Carrie and Reese, and you've created these special friendships and yeah. mentorships and all of that. Were you able to like meet them and kind of like have some bonding time before you started filming, or was it kind of like you showed up and just started filming?
Kind of. So actually, I met Carrie, like, it was just super random. I went to a live taping of a show that my friend was in. It was a pilot. It was actually Leslie Odom Jr.'s pilot. And so he was playing Leslie Odom Jr.
Oh.
Yeah. And Carrie was producing. And so prior to like going in to the taping, supporting my friend, I didn't realize that Carrie was a producer attached to it. And so as soon as I walked in, like, I was up in the stands and I saw Carrie just kind of like working her magic. I think maybe 2 weeks. It had been like 2 weeks of me booking it. And so I was like still reeling. And the moment I saw her, I was just like in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, she's actually going to be playing my mom. Like, it really just like it all hit me in that moment. But it wasn't until like after the taping, she pointed me out in the audience and she told me to come down. And she just like, the moment that she saw me, she just like addressed me as her daughter, and she just wrapped me up in this warm big hug. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And I think that that's really when like everything sunk in, that I had actually booked the role and that I was going to be playing her daughter.
Wow.
So that moment was so special. And then I actually didn't meet Reese until the table read, our very first table read. And then Carrie and I, we sat down like a day before our first scene, and we just kind of talked, and we went through the script, and she had her ideas and I had mine. And we, I don't know, it was just like, it was a collaboration process. You know, we both came to the table with different ideas, and we both heard each other out. And I don't know, we kind of came to this conclusion that we were going to do something really powerful and really special with the dynamic between me and Pearl, since it's such a complex mother and daughter relationship, and there are so many different layers to it. But yeah, I didn't meet them until kind of later on, right before we started filming.
That must have been so surreal.
Yeah.
And especially because you said you grew up watching Scandal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was my mom's favorite show growing up.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So like every Thursday I would be tuned in with her and my dad and my Nana. So.
Did she know that you were such a big fan of Scandal?
I told her when we started filming, I told her like what it meant to me to be able to like be playing her daughter, and how it was kind of like a full circle moment. My mom actually, like, she was kind of fangirling when she first met her. Honestly, all the moms were fangirling, because we all, like, everybody loved Reese and Carrie.
Right.
And so, like, after after like maybe our first episode, I then came out and was like, you know, I'm like a huge fan of your work. And, like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cute. Oh, yeah. My God.
You were also in Lion King, not only on Broadway, but also on the tour, which is super cool. What was that like? How old were you when you got it? Can you tell us the story of how you got it? And also, like, tell us a story of, didn't you book the tour first and then you moved on to Broadway?
Yeah.
What was it different in any way? Like, because it's the same show. What were the similarities and differences from being on tour in Lion King and also being on Broadway in Lion King?
Yeah, Lion King was actually, it was one of the first Broadway shows I had ever seen, and it was also my very first audition as an actor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I saw it with my parents back in, like, 2013 during intermission. I vividly remember, like, looking up at the stage and telling my parents that I was going to do that, and they were just like, okay, sure, like, okay, all right, and I was just like, I'm going to be Nala one day, so just be ready. Then fast forward like maybe a year later, I got my first agent, which is Nancy Carson in New York, and I auditioned for it, and I actually didn't book it. I didn't book it the first time I went in, and a couple of months later I then went to an open call in Jersey, and it was the last time that I was going to be able to audition for it, because originally when I auditioned, I was 10 years old, and they said that I was too young, and, you know, my voice hadn't fully developed, and they said to come back, you know, maybe a year later. So then I auditioned when I was 11. It was an open call with, like, 1,000 other kids. I honestly did not think I was going to book it yet again because of, you know, I had already auditioned before, and I didn't book it, so I was just like, let me go in, see what happens. You know, if I book it, awesome. If I don't, cool. I was also auditioning for Matilda at the time, so I was like doing both.
Of course.
I was doing both open calls, and the audition process, it like took place over the span of maybe 2 months, I think, and it was kind of crazy. Like, my last audition for both shows, they were actually right across the street from each other, so like I vividly remember like going to Matilda, and those are like two very different shows, so I remember like going over to Matilda, doing hardcore choreo and like being out of breath, sweating and everything, and then like running across the street to Lion King and having to sing Circle of Life,
wow.
I Can't Wait to Be King, and I was actually like late for my dance auditions for Lion King, and I picked up, I think I only had, they only gave me like 2 minutes to figure out the choreo, to just like sit and watch everybody do it, and I like just jumped in and I did the best that I could, but eventually I picked it up, which was really crazy. Yeah,
a triple threat, a true triple threat.
Thank you.
Wow. You had to go back and forth on the same day.
Yep, on the same day.
I can never. Oh my god.
It's like different studios.
Yeah, it was different studios, but they were like, I don't know. I was just so lucky of the fact that they were like right.
That's
across.
Crazy.
Yeah,
I love that. What a hustle!
Right. So I wound up kind of booking both shows, and I was given the choice to choose, and I chose Lion King only because it was a show that just I was drawn to ever since I was younger. It was my dream role, so I went with Lion King, and I will never forget, just that audition had so many stars, in all honesty. Like, the audition, Shahadi Wright Joseph, she was also at the audition.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie Winston was at the audition around the exact same time. Like, my friend Casey Wallfall.
Oh, yeah.
Nala, and she was Nala with Nate McIntyre, who just is in a show called David Makes Man on OWN, and also Caleb McLaughlin. And so, like, it was kind of all of us, and we all bonded because Casey and I had done a show together previously. So all of us were, like, bonding during the audition process, even though they were already cast. And as soon as I booked it, it was just all really surreal. I don't know. I was 11 years old in middle school in D.C., and D.C. doesn't really have too many theater programs for kids. And so everybody was just kind of like stunned and shocked. And I picked up everything. My Nana went on tour with me, and I was on tour for about 8 months. And just that process It was probably one of the best experiences of my life, just to be so young and to be a part of a show that means so much to Black culture, and to be surrounded by like so many, not even just Black artists, but South African artists, and to be able to learn about like South African culture, and to be able to like learn how to speak it and learn different dance moves. Like, that was just such a lovely experience. I'll honestly never forget it. And then after like my 8-month period, then I went to Broadway to cover for Shahadi, because Shahadi was auditioning for School of Rock at the time. And so I was on Broadway for about like, I want to say like 3 to 4 weeks. And just that experience was super cool. There's obviously a major difference between Broadway and a tour. I think with tour, you know, you're in somebody's city, you're learning about, you know, that city in itself. And on top of that, we would go to cities that didn't necessarily have a lot of Broadway shows coming to them. So the idea of Broadway was kind of foreign to them. Sure. And it was just like a new energy every night. And it's the same with Broadway, but with Broadway, there's like a bunch of tourists and, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, Broadway is like a major thing. Everybody's coming every night, coming from all different places to see that show. And so honestly, both energies from both different audiences were just so incredible. And I'm grateful of the fact that I got to do both and, you know, experienced both tour and Broadway. And it's just something that I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I mean, to be a part of the tour and Broadway production of the same show is pretty, I mean, pretty rare and also pretty neat. Like, so sometimes, you know, You got to travel on tour, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to travel with your stage.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, like, the tour production in Broadway kind of have, like, different, like, staging and blocking and stuff like that. Was there anything like that for Lion King?
Yeah. So for Circle of Life, actually, like, Pride Rock. On Broadway, Pride Rock comes from out of the ground. And on tour, Pride Rock comes from, like, I don't know, it comes from the curtains. If I can recall, I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen the show, but I believe it like comes from the curtains and it kind of wraps around. So obviously that kind of affects what I do, because during Circle of Life, I'm a baby elephant. Oh. And so I had to like watch out for certain things and, you know, make sure I didn't like bump into Pride Rock. And during Broadway, it's like this giant hole in the middle of the ground, and you have to make sure that you don't fall into the hole. Obviously, you're going to hurt yourself and mess up the production. Okay. So, so I definitely had to learn like different blocking and just make sure that I was not hurting myself with everything happening. Nice. But other than that, it wasn't, I don't know, there was nothing like too big.
Now, on Broadway, oftentimes, like, so they come from like the lobby on Broadway, right? And then they walk down the aisles. Were they able to do that in every city?
Yeah, we were able to come from the lobby. Wow. Well, I think just the only thing was, I think with Broadway, the audience could really kind of see more of just the cast members before they come in to do Circle of Life, because of the way that the Minskoff is set up. But with the different theaters that we were able to have during a tour, I don't know, we were able to be like more hidden. And so it was more of a shock and surprise to the audience, especially the people that hadn't seen the production before. But like I said, I don't know, there wasn't too much of a difference between Broadway and tour, just like making sure that I had all the proper blocking and that I was in the right place at the right time.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You've been in so much. You've been in Broadway, you've started in Disney, Nick, Netflix, Hulu. What do you want to do next?
Okay, that's a pretty loaded question. for me, like, I want to continue to tell stories that have an impact. I think that, you know, Little Fires Everywhere talked about something that was so timely. You know, we touched on so many different topics and issues, motherhood and what it means to be a mother. Like, are you a real mother because you birthed the child or because you raised the child, or the LGBTQ community, or abortion and a woman's right to choose, also racism and microaggressions. And so I think that that show and everything that it stood for is kind of the type of projects that I want to continue to attach myself to. A dream role of mine is to play Aaliyah. So I'm just hoping, you know, within the next few years that that comes to fruition. I'm putting it out in the atmosphere that I will play Aaliyah at some point in my life.
It's going to happen. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm putting it out in the atmosphere. And then also I have my own production company. And so I've been working on like different projects with my production company. And the whole point behind it is to continue to put out inclusive stories that make sure that everybody feels represented. And it doesn't just, you know, when you see a Black woman on the screen, it's not just a stereotypical role. Or you see a Latina woman on the screen, it's not just the stereotypical roles that they're usually given. Sure. Or an Asian woman. Just, you know, expanding the ideas of what especially POC women in this industry can do and the stories that we're given. And so I want to just continue to make sure that I am being incredibly inclusive with my production company and that I'm creating spaces and tables for underrepresented storytellers.
That's amazing. And you made your directorial debut in a documentary called We the Voices of Gen Z.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
For those who don't know, can you just explain how it came about, what it is, and what it means to you?
Yeah. So We the Voices of Gen Z was a concept that I came up with in 2018. It was around the exact same time that the UVA white supremacy march had taken place. Mm-hmm. And I'm from DC. My dad went to UVA and I had a bunch of family up in Virginia. And so not to say that I was like sheltered from the idea of ignorance and hatred, but I didn't necessarily know that it had lived so close to me. And so in that moment, watching the news, I was just in a sense of shock and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I wanted to do something to help. So I created a safe space for a bunch of kids in the DMV area. And so DMV stands for DC, Maryland, and Virginia, to come down to DC and just kind of talk about but how they were feeling. You know, Trump had recently gotten elected. There was just so many things happening in the world at that time. And, you know, everybody was feeling overwhelmed and just unsure of what to do. And so a bunch of kids just came in and they sat down and they were just open with how they were feeling. And at the end of the conversation, they were actually able to come up with sustainable solutions to help create change to the topics that we were talking about. And we did film it, but we never released it. And then fast forward to quarantine just a couple of months ago, I wanted to pick it back up. As soon as George Floyd's murder had taken place, I was feeling the exact same feelings that I was back in 2018. And so I thought that it would be just such a timely project that I needed to pick back up. And also just yet again, feeling that space of like, where do I fit in with the Black Lives Matter movement? Or how, what can I do to help, you know, create change and make sure that I'm getting my voice heard to make sure that, you know, everybody is being treated equally and that we don't have to continue to suffer these injustices. And so our first conversation was centering Black Lives Matter and just the grief that everybody was feeling and just not knowing what exactly to do. And then our second conversation was about all Black Lives Matter and the erasure of Black women and Black trans women from the conversation of equality. And then our third and fourth installment of We the Voices of Gen Z was actually centering being Black in Hollywood and what Black storytellers have to go through on a day-to-day basis. And
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I've just been so grateful to be able to have, you know, just so many incredible people a part of the documentary. We've had like Naomi Wadler, who, you know, obviously just made such an impact when she spoke up at the March for Our Lives march back in 2018, I believe it took place. We had Mari Copney, who, you know, obviously just with everything happening in Flint, at only age 8, she stood up and she said what was happening in her community wasn't right. And she was dedicated to creating change and making an impact. And we've also been able to have, you know, Janai Future Khan, who is the founder of Black Lives Matter, and Ashley Marie Preston, who is the first Black trans journalist. And then with our Being Black in Hollywood conversation, we were able to have like Storm Reid and Ryan Destiny, Matthew Cherry, and Niles Fitch and Rome Flynn, just so many incredible visionaries. And just being a part of these conversations has taught me a lot about not only this movement, but what where everybody kind of fits in with this movement, and just the kind of realizations that we've all come up with within the past months of being kind of like trapped inside with our own thoughts and seeing everything unfold with our own two eyes. And I don't know, I'm just really grateful that the project has like kind of come back and people have felt inspired by watching We the Voices of Gen Z. And that's just the whole point of it, to help, you know, create sustainable solutions. And you know, I've been getting like a bunch of messages, and people have been like, you know, just listening and watching these stories, watching these conversations have actually like inspired people to really go out there and vote in November. And so to me, that just means everything, that if my, like, just this one little vision that I had can actually inspire people to go out and create change, like, at the end of the day, that's all I wanted to accomplish. And so
that is so inspiring. You're doing such an incredible job, you know, just shining light on certain things and also making sure everyone's voices are heard. And that's truly incredible and so inspiring.
Thank you. You're really inspiring, just what you're doing with literally, because I've seen you, like, and I follow you, and it you can tell, like, you use your platform that you have for good, and like, you can tell it's really important for you to continue to get your voice heard and make sure others are heard as well. And it's really, really inspiring.
Thank you. Ever since I was little, I always said that if I was given the platform to be able to kind of reach out to people and people are actually like listening to me, I would always speak up about things that I was passionate about and somehow kind of like try and inspire or push people to create change that betters this world that we live in, and especially like is bettering this country. And so, like I said, I'm just glad that I've been able to kind of reach some people and inspire some people to go out there and create change.
You're incredible.
And you just turned 17.
Yeah, I mean, this
by the way, happy belated birthday.
Yes, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Just last Friday, right?
Yeah, just last Friday.
Oh my gosh, so exciting.
At just 17, how much you've accomplished is astronomical.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, and then on top of this, I have to talk about this as well. Like, so you want to get, you know, you want to speak out and allow other people's stories to be heard.
Yeah.
You recently collaborated on Reese Witherspoon's book club.
Yeah.
And
so cool.
You were a guest editor of a book called You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson.
Yeah.
And I mean, first of all, what was that like? And is that something that, like, you say you want to use your platform and stuff, would you ever consider about like actually writing a book and compiling a bunch of stories?
Yeah, that would be actually really awesome. I mean, ever since I was little, I've loved literature. English has been like my favorite subject in school since I started school. And so as soon as Reese reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to be the first young adult guest editor for Reese's Book Club, without a doubt, I immediately said yes. And as soon as they sent over the book, you know, You Should See Me in a Crown is about a young Black queer girl in a very small town that's trying to figure out how to make it out. And I think, you know, that's just such a common thing that happens. And, you know, especially like going to predominantly white schools and feeling like you don't necessarily fit in and just wanting to go out there and chase your dreams and make a name for yourself is just something that I can identify with growing up. I went to a predominantly white school and I knew that I wanted more than, you know, just the things that DC had to offer for me, because like I said, growing up, there weren't a lot of outlets or programs for kids to be able to, I don't know, kind of get involved with theater and dance and singing and acting. And so I wanted to set out and create a name for myself and chase my dreams at a young age. And so I was immediately drawn to the book and Like I said, I love literature. When I'm older, I don't think right now is the proper time to write a book. I think probably when I'm like 40 or 50 and I have, you know, more wisdom and I've gone through more things and I've learned more life lessons, and probably I would definitely probably write a book to help yet again inspire people, inspire especially, you know, just like young artists that are trying to accomplish their dreams and chase their dreams. But yeah, no, I was super grateful to have been a part of Reese's Book Club and to have been the first young adult guest editor.
Yeah,
definitely. Well,
that's awesome. And to be a part of that book as well, like, let alone Reese Witherspoon's book club, you know, like, that book is obviously very important and it deals with and talks about important topics. So I'm glad, like, you can tell it's just, again, you're passionate of what your passion is and how you really are dedicated to it, and it's really awesome to see.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Should we play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game. Let's do it.
Okay, so now we're gonna play a game. It's called Two Truths and One Lie.
Okay.
I'm sure you played it before, but for those who don't know, it's each of us have three statements. Two of them are true statements. One of them is a lie. However, none of us know which one is the true statement or which one is the lie. So, for example, let's say Eli says his three statements. Mm-hmm. He'll say three statements, two of them are true, one of them's a lie. Lexi and I don't know which one is the lie, but our objective is to try and guess which one is the lie. So Eli's going to say his three statements. I'm going to set a timer for 1 minute, and Lexi and I have 1 minute to interrogate him and try and figure out what the
lie
is.
Wait, I'm first?
No, I just used it as an example.
Okay.
Don't worry, don't worry.
You say, whoa, pressure's on. Right, man.
I always get so nervous playing this game.
Ladies first.
Okay.
Who wants to go?
You want to go first?
I can go first. Let's see. Michelle Obama came to my school and read me a book when I was younger. My grandfather is a professional golfer and was Tiger Woods' first golf coach. And I want to be president when I grow up.
Oh my God. Oh. No way. I feel like this could all be true. I don't like this, man.
Okay. Let me set a timer.
Wow.
Okay.
This is...
Wow. That's a good one.
I don't even know where to begin.
Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Timer start. What book did she read to you? Do you remember? And what grade were you in?
I don't remember the book, but I remember being in second grade.
Okay, and she just, like, came to your school? Yes. Well, I mean, it makes sense. You lived in D.C. area, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And this was when President Obama was president?
Yes.
Okay. And then your grandfather is a professional golfer. Is this, like, how long has he been golfing? Like, when did he become, like, Tiger Woods? How long has he known Tiger Woods?
He is a professional golfer. He's been one since he was 35. He has blazed many trails. He was the first black golfer to ever win the PGA, I believe. And he used to tour when my mother was a kid. And so he brought the whole family along and became a professional golfer. And then eventually met Tiger Woods and believed in him and started coaching him.
Oh, no, our time's up.
Oh, no.
My God, this is so hard.
Oh, okay. Wait.
You're a very good liar.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Considering you are an actor, I mean, it makes sense. But wow, I'm
Eli,
so competitive and I'm very frustrated right now.
You can put in your first. You can put in the guess, Eli. What do you? Which one do you think is a lie?
Oh my God, I don't even know. Where to begin? Michelle Obama coming in to read you a book. I mean, that sounds like something she would do. She's a pretty cool girl.
Yeah.
And you live in the DC area, like, makes sense, you know? And I mean, like, we didn't get to ask you about.
I know we didn't
get to ask whether or not
about,
you
like,
be president.
Okay.
I feel like that it would, I mean, that's up her alley, you know?
Definitely. I mean,
who wouldn't want to become the president? Okay. Oh, God. I'm going to say the lie is that your father is a professional golfer and coached Tiger Woods.
It's Sydney,
your guess.
It's so hard because I can see all of these being true.
I know, right?
I mean, I feel like, okay, I'm going to go. This was incredible. I genuinely don't know. I'm going to go with the last one. I'm going to go with you don't want to be the president. Because I feel like you like are, you want to be a director. You want to be like, I feel like you're so good at like telling stories. And I also think the presidency is like a thankless job. So I think I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Should I say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Right, so you're right. I don't want to be president.
No way.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can see you being president, though. I would 100% vote for you.
I feel like I would just, that seems like a really stressful job, and I don't want any part in politics, but I will make sure I will, you know, with what I'm doing right now, I will speak up about things that I'm passionate about, that
I will
no part in politics.
Sure.
I will say, if you ever decided to become president, you
I would
have my vote. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to know.
That was an incredible round.
That was so good. I bought it from the minute it came out of your mouth.
Thanks.
Wow. Amazing. That's unreal.
Okay. I knew this. Okay. When I was little, I fell on a kid's necklace with a pointed bead in the middle, and it harpooned my forehead. When I was little, I hit my head on the edge of a coffee table trying to balance on a suitcase that tipped over with me on it. When I was little, I hit my head running up a slide playing tag with my friends, and I slipped and split the outside of my eyebrow. Okay,
all I got to say is you're a mess.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I mean, it explains a lot about me. Okay, there you go. Started.
Can I see your forehead?
I mean, there's one scar. There's the eyebrow scar. You can see it right there. I also have like a scar up here.
And then what happened when you were like on a suitcase and then tipped over?
Yeah, I was apparently balancing on a suitcase, and like that was right next to a coffee table. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it happening. I've only been told this story. The reason I don't remember it happening is probably because I hit my head so much when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just tipped over with me on it because I was just trying to balance on it.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know if I buy it.
Ooh, I had to have been 3.
Okay. Oh,
three or four. I mean, my prime stages for this was like 2, 3, 4, 5, like that time frame.
Okay. Okay.
How do you remember it at 2 to 3?
I don't. I've only been told. I mean, the only one I remember of these was the slide one because it was in the PPAS slide, except I was in Midtown West.
And this harpoon thing, you don't remember that either?
No. I mean, first of all, I was a child. Second of all, I hit my head so many times.
You're right.
I lost all memory. Okay, time's up, by the way.
It's funny. We actually went to the same school, and it seemed like, no joke, like she was in Fun Home when she would go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the days that she actually like came to school. no offense.
I wasn't in PPAS when I slipped on the slide. I was in Midtown West.
Because I was gonna ask when I immediately
But
when I think of slide and park, I immediately think of Broadway Park.
Yeah, oh my God.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
No, but literally, when we used to go to the same school, and we played like at like in the courtyard at recess, she would always like be the one that got hurt for some reason.
Okay.
Like somehow the ball would always come to her and smack her or something like that. I felt so bad.
Literally.
Multiple times was my fault.
I have a deviated septum because of soccer.
Yikes.
I know. It makes my nose point to the right.
Okay.
Really? Oh, gosh.
So all I've learned today is that I have 2 really good liars in front of me. And now I don't know whether to trust them or not. You know?
shoot. Do you
want
to?
You want me to say? Okay. I can guess first. This whole harpoon to the forehead, I kind of buy it, not gonna lie. It was a very detailed necklace, but that could also be the that could also be like the catch of it. I'm gonna have to say you falling over on the suitcase was okay. The lie. I don't know. I'm just kind of feeling it.
Yeah. Okay. Ugh. I don't know, because the necklace thing, like the necklace incident, seems incredibly dangerous. Like if that actually went into your head, like that sounds painful. Oh my god. I'm gonna also have to go with Eli. I think that the suitcase incident is a lie.
Okay. Want me to tell you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That actually happened. What the lie was like on the slide. That happened.
Did you go to Midtown West?
Yes, I went to Midtown West, but that actually happened to my brother. My brother Brock. I got this story from my brother Brock. He was playing tag with his friends, and I actually altered it a little bit, but he like banged his head on the top of that same exact slide, and he had to get like staples and stuff. But the other two were true. I harpooned my forehead with a very poorly made child's necklace.
Yeah, I bought that one.
Pointed bead in the middle, and it was specifically my brother's Hot Wheel cars suitcase that he kept all of his like cars in, and I was trying to balance on it, and I literally just dipped over and just smacked my head on the edge of the coffee table.
Oh wow, goodness.
That's very
wow. Intriguing. Well, I hope that your brother's eyebrow is okay.
Oh, I actually do have a scar here. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's kind of why I thought that was true, because of the scar. But
I don't
it
even
happened
know what brother. It. I completely forgot where it came from.
Interesting.
I just fell so much as a child.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I know. It really does explain a lot. Okay, Eli, your turn.
Okay. I'm just going through things right now, okay. Just to make sure I have my facts straight. My whole family attended my first ever audition with me. The first show I ever did, professional or not, was in West Virginia, where I'm from. And I've done more theater than TV and film.
Interesting. It's 555, by the way.
Oh my god, Cindy loves that.
Me too. I'm obsessed with angel numbers.
It's incredible.
Yes! High five.
Oh my god, I also read that you were obsessed with crystals too. Is that true?
Yeah, I love crystals.
I have a whole bag of crystals right here. Oh my god, we gotta go about
that. Like lined up right by the edge of my bed. That's
I'm
so
obsessed.
Awesome.
Okay, we got I'll set the timer. Okay. Okay, 1 minute starting now.
All
right. Okay. So what was the first audition that your entire family attended?
It was my first professional audition, which was Mary Poppins, the tour of Mary Poppins.
Okay.
And yeah, go on.
What was the show in West Virginia?
It was a musical, Christmas Carol.
Oh, okay. That's actually that was my first show as well. Back
really?
In
I think we talked about this. I think Yeah, because then, like, Mr. Magoo came, and it was, like, kind of that, but, like,
yeah.
What
was the third one?
What was the third one?
It was that I have done more theater than TV and film.
What shows have you been in? What Broadway shows have you been in?
So, I've done A Christmas Story, Mary Poppins Tour, and A Christmas Story Tour, Pippin, and Finding Neverland.
Are you also counting like off Broadway, like Mr. Magoo?
No, I was just saying like theater in general to like TV and film.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
Eli, this is a really good one.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Lexi, do you have a guess?
I think I have a guess.
Okay, what's your guess?
I don't think that your whole family showed up for your Mary Poppins. Audition.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's see what Sydney thinks.
Literally. I feel like you've been in more TV than you have film. Like, Broadway.
Words.
like, you, by that, you mean, like, even just like guest stars, right?
No, like I literally mean like all theater in general and
including
all TV
readings.
Yeah, and no, not including readings. We don't have to include readings. Okay. All theater in general of like professional, not, and then like all TV and film. So like or like TV shows and movies.
That's hard.
Oof.
I'm shocked you don't know this.
Okay, and then the other one was like, was in West Virginia. Christmas Carol was in West Virginia?
Yeah.
Was it actually in West Virginia?
Yeah. It's so funny because Sydney's such an indecisive person.
Mm-hmm.
So playing these games with her always just cracks me up.
Yeah, but you guys are like giving really good options. Like this is actually really
good. I know.
Okay, okay, wait. What was the first one again?
Oh my goodness. seeing my whole family came to my audition for Mary Poppins. And I've done more theater in general than TV and film in general. And my first show was in West Virginia.
God, if the first show in West Virginia is wrong, I'm going to be such a horrible friend.
Is that your answer?
This was really good. This was really good. I'm going to pick. Wait, what was the first one again?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I'm like totally stressing myself out. I'm just, you know what? Like, I'll just, are you counting Greatest Showman as like?
No, that was a reading.
I'm just going to go with the last one. I'm just going to say you've done more television than you've done.
Wait, wasn't that your answer too, Lexi?
No, my answer was...
Oh, my pit. Okay.
Yeah.
So neither of you were right.
It was...
And my first show that I ever did was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But I am from West Virginia.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Got it.
So, yeah. That was like the trick.
Nice.
But yeah. All the theater, I've never done theater in West Virginia. They don't really do theater there.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I feel like I feel like such a horrible friend. I'm sorry, Eli.
It's okay. I feel like I'm glad you didn't say my family one for Mary Poppins coming into my audition, because I feel like I've definitely told you that.
You haven't you told me that, but I can imagine. Okay.
It's something my family would do. We had no clue. We were like all came from West Virginia, hopped in the car, this like big car, it was like seven of us, and just like all came into the audition, and it was like an open call basically. You know, you already have limited spaces is, and you're only supposed to have like one or two people with you, and I just brought my whole family in because we had no clue. It was just too funny.
Including your grandparents?
Yep, my grandpa was there, not my grandma.
I love that.
Yep. I know, right? It was so silly, and it was so funny because literally we were at the audition, and like I ended up booking it, and when I got to the it was like my first day of rehearsal and stuff, all the other kids were from New York, and they were like, you know, I have to tell you, like, we were at the audition and we were kind of like, who's this kid think he is, just like coming from nowhere and bringing a whole family into a open call room. And we were like, we don't even know what that means. Like, what? I don't know what to tell you here. And they were like, yeah, it was just like so not what you do and stuff. And I was like, yeah. I'm so sorry. Like, I had no clue. I felt so bad. And like, I was like so embarrassed. But I was like, oh, well, it happened. You know?
I find that so endearing.
That's adorable, though. I mean, my mom, my dad, and my grandma all came with me to my open call audition.
Yeah.
So I had my family with me. Oh, my
gotta have that support.
Yeah. Super supportive.
I love that. I mean, luckily, I had both of my brothers were in the business as well. So, like, my parents were kind of, like, split up between, like, us, if that makes sense. Yeah. Parents are awesome, by the way. They're so supportive. Seriously. My parents are so great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Lexi, for coming on.
Yeah, this has been awesome.
Thank you so much.
Tell your mom I say hi.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you as well.
Tell your mom I say hi. Yeah. Thank you. I hope your family's well and staying safe and sane during these crazy times.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for your time and willingness to do this. We've had so much fun. You're a really good liar, by the way.
Thanks.
Seriously, that was incredible.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Take a bow, Lexi Underwood.
Woo-woo. I mean, come on. That was awesome. We had a great time talking to her, and it was cool just to hear her perspective, and also it was really cool to hear her perspective on how she wants to highlight Black voices more and have a more impactful role for Black voices in the industry.
Yeah, and it was truly amazing to hear all that she's accomplished, and she's so inspiring, and she's such an incredible role model as well for other young people who, you know, are trying to figure out how to make a difference in the world.
So another thing I wanted to talk about, oh, also, let's talk about that Two Truths and a Lie really quickly.
Oh my gosh, that was incredible.
So I don't know about you guys listening to these games that we play.
By the way, I was so mad at myself for not getting that. I was so, like, getting yours.
It's okay.
I swear I knew it in, like, the back of my mind.
I could have sworn you knew it. Like, I was, like, 110% positive you were gonna get it. But
I can't believe I didn't, because then after I was like, Sydney, what were you thinking?
It's all good. It's all good. No hard feelings. It's okay. You're not the worst best friend or anything.
I know. I feel like such a horrible friend. I should have known that.
Yeah. I mean, well, you're the worst. So
I know. Now I know. Now I know. I'll never forget it ever again. You did Christmas Carol in Pittsburgh, not West Virginia. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. So. But I don't know about you guys that are listening to this, but these games that we play, we have so much fun doing them.
So much fun.
And I hope you guys are enjoying them too, because, I mean, we're playing around with, like, some fun things that we can do. So Two Truths and a Lie seem to be a fun one for us and our guests.
Also, if you have any suggestions for games we can play on a podcast, because that is a, for me at least, it's a hard thing to come up with. Obviously, like, if it were an on-camera interview, we could have a whole range of games.
Yeah.
But this is a podcast. We only have audio here. So if you have any suggestions, please go to our Instagram and, like, or email us. And,
yeah.
And I don't know, just tell us or DM us or whatever.
Yeah, even comment on a post. Like,
yeah,
comment DM,
post, yeah.
Whatever you need. Just, there's plenty of ways nowadays with social media to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw this, Sid. But just this past week, they had a special memoriam for Nick Cordero.
Oh.
And
I wasn't aware of that.
I was unable to catch all of it. It was like an hour-long special on Broadway On Demand. And I believe it's still on there for anyone that wants to go check that out. But it was truly, I saw tons and tons and tons of videos because I didn't get to see it in time, but I got to basically see all of it out of order on, like, YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they did this beautiful tribute, and no joke, it was probably about 70 people singing this One of the Great Ones song from Bronx Tale. And it was just so incredibly inspiring, just the words in the song. And also, there was, like, this one part where they incorporated his song "Live Your Life," and I just, like, immediately, like, lost it and got chills all the way down my body. It was really something special. And actually, some of those people we've actually had on the podcast. So, whoever wants to go check that out, go for it.
Wait, and where can we see this?
It's on YouTube. You can go check it out on YouTube. Yeah, and wow. I believe if you want to see the whole thing, it's still on Broadway On Demand for free. But wow. I have to double check that, though. So I'll get back to that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Thank you for telling me, because I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, and for those listeners who didn't, because I know we've talked about Nick and his journey and his wife Amanda and his little boy Elvis. We've talked about them. So I just wanted to give an update on that. And if you're interested in watching that, please go check it out, because I promise it's worth the 3 minutes.
Yeah. And another thing, the world lost a hero recently. And we, you know, it definitely impacted like the entire world. Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, passed away. He changed the world.
Yeah.
And his legacy is gonna live on for literally forever.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the magnitude of his impact will be seen for years and years and years to come. And I think it's greater than maybe we realize.
We just wanted to acknowledge and send our love to him and his family.
And we just wanted to say, rest in peace. I mean, he'll never be forgotten, ever.
It's hard to even still to wrap my head around this.
Yeah.
But no, in all honesty, like, he was a hero in every meaning of hero. Like, not only did he play a hero on TV, but he also played a hero in life. And for a lot of people, he was an extremely good man and did a lot for his community and everyone's community, to be honest with you. It's hard to put into words how, like, to feel exactly, but honestly, Black Panther revolutionized, like, entertainment, like, in movies, especially for Black voices. So his legacy will forever live on. And yeah, like you said, rest in peace and rest in power, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah. And one more thing, obviously a quote, from Black Panther has been going around. It says, "In my culture, death is not the end. It's more of a stepping off point." And I think that is such, I don't know. I mean, that's from Black Panther, and I think that's such an interesting perspective. And I also think that death is most definitely not the end. And like I said, his legacy lives far beyond, like, any of us.
Definitely, it's quite incredible how, you know, we've seen this trend of people lately who we've unfortunately lost, like Kobe and, you know, it's incredible
it's
how many
really hard.
Yeah, how many people we've lost this year. But like you're saying, like, all of these people whose legacies are going to live on. And it's interesting how, like, Nick Cordero, he came out with a song, Live Your Life. And a year or two later, this happened to him. And just like Chadwick Boseman, this quote, I mean, it's incredible how it makes the movie and it makes the quote even that much more powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually went back and watched Black Panther. And my brother suggested it, and it's if you watch that movie now, it's so much more powerful.
Yeah, my mom and I did as well. It was like certain lines and certain just things that they said and certain everything just like hit us like, you know, harder than it did the first time we watched it. But anyway, we just wanted to send our condolences. And 2020 has been quite a year. It's been full of loss, and it can be very confusing and very hard. And not just loss of, like, lives, but also loss of community. Because, I mean, well, not technically loss of community, because, like, Eli and I have, like, had this podcast. We have a community in this. But, like, for example, Broadway is still down. There's a loss of that. There's a loss of normalcy, if that makes sense. And it, I don't know, it's just interesting to navigate that and truly wrap your head around this year. But I think if you know, for example, Chadwick or Nick Cordero or Kobe, if they taught us anything, it's to live your life and live it to the fullest and live it guided and surrounded by love
and happiness.
And happiness and without fear, because, you know, tomorrow is not promised. So,
right. So
you know, as hard as 2020 is, I feel inspired to just live my life, as Nick Cordero's song says.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. 2020 has been extremely difficult, and some days are better than others. But in a way, like, we've needed 2020. Like, it's put this all into reality. It's put it into perspective. Just even COVID,
it's put it into perspective. It's put
just with COVID, like, you don't know, like, what's gonna happen, and then you see like Kobe, and you see Chadwick, and you see Nick, and you see all of these people, and it's just so hard. But in a way, it's been a good reminder of just, listen, now that COVID's happening, you've given an opportunity to be with your family or be whoever you're with. Take advantage of that. You know, like, love remind people that you love them. Tell your loved ones they love them. Squeeze them, hug them, like, anything. Just you got to keep living life and to your fullest. And you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, but you have to focus on the positives and you have to stay positive.
It's really, really ironic that I just realized this, that this year is called 2020.
Yeah.
Because it's putting things into perspective. And when you think of 2020, you think of 2020 vision.
Vision, yeah.
And it's just changing everyone's perspective on life.
Yeah.
And how it's precious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Sorry, I'm sure people have already, like, put two and two together, but it's just so interesting how it's changing our perspective, and this year's called 2020. If you haven't seen it yet, please, please, please go watch Little Fires Everywhere. It's truly fantastic. You can watch it on Hulu. And also go watch Lexi's, I think it's on YouTube, Lexi's We the Voices of Gen Z series, because it is just filled with a bunch of different perspectives, and I think it's very informative and very insightful, and I think it's very important for you to watch. So
yeah, the other thing too, like, so this We the Voices of Gen Z, as well as Little Fires Everywhere, these two projects that Lexi has done recently, not only are they extremely, extremely entertaining, and like Little Fires Everywhere is like one of the hottest shows right now,
yeah,
on Hulu, but on top of that, these stories have to be heard, every single one of them. The Little Fires Everywhere deals with literally 10 million like topics that are kind of hard to talk about, and
yeah, often, I mean, like Lexi said, it deals with like what does being a mother mean. It deals with you know, one's
racism,
sexuality growing up. It deals with racism and microaggressions, and you know, even if they're not like overt, there is still like they just expose just the depth at which, you know, racism and microaggressions and even homophobia can like lurk beneath the surface, even if just glancing at you can't see it.
But yeah, we highly recommend that. So please go check that out. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We had a fun time. We played a game, and we have some very fun episodes coming next week as well. So
yeah,
we're
so
excited
good.
To release those. Guys, okay. So other thing, Dear Evan Hansen, for those of you, myself included, I'm a fanson. Dear Evan Hansen is coming to the screen, and Ben Platt's going to be in it, and Ava Adams is going to be in it, and the full cast is announced. So, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm extremely excited about this.
So excited,
I'm very interested. to see, one, how all of this is going to work on a movie and all of that, but also, two, they're saying that they're expanding on some of the characters, and they're also adding another character.
No
so
way.
They're going to expand on, like, Jared and Alana's character, but they're also going to add one more character. So I'm very excited to see how this is going to go.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they've held us in suspense, and we have to wait probably like a year or two. So that's never fun. But yeah, regardless, I'm super excited.
Yeah, that's going to be legendary.
Yeah, seriously. Sid, we're going to watch that together.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we're going to go to the movies.
Let's do it.
And yeah, we're going to have a big party.
When it's safe.
And then we're going to review it on, oh yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, and then you're right, because we'll have a podcast. You're right. Woot woot. Okay, well, I look forward to that for many reasons. One of them being the world will be back to normal. Woot woot.
Yes. Well, you look forward to that, and we both will look forward to seeing you all next week for our next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. We love you.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Sick beat, am I right? Special shout out to Nikki Torsha and Cormac Colinon for our amazing intro and outro music.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Take a Bow. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to subscribe and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening to us from.
And tune in next week for another episode.
This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network.
To learn more about this podcast, visit bpn.fm/takeabow and follow us on Instagram at takeabowpodcast, where you can contact us with any feedback, suggestions, or questions, and keep up with all things Take a Bow.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.